Oh, there we go. Okay, good morning, Daryl. Good morning, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How is it out there? How was trailblazing yesterday?
It's really good. Really
Oh,
good. Great.
good, good.
Yeah, we had a really good time. We had a good day. It rained on us up there, but we didn't have any lightning, and so that part was good. And then we just when it started raining, it was right at 12 o'clock, and so noon, and we had just cut off lower branches off of some pine trees, and so we sat down underneath the pine trees and ate our lunch. And
Oh,
when we
wow.
got through eating, it quit raining, and we went to work.
Yeah,
It had beautiful, about 70 degrees, and it was just really nice.
wow. That is nice. Well, that is cool. So you got a lot done? Are you gonna hit your goal?
I don't know. I thought, well, we're doing pretty good. We're getting on across there, and then we went over, and we couldn't even find the trail again for another section, and we blazed through and found it. And but then we saw a place where we got to cut through a bunch of aspens and other bushes and tree and stuff to get through. It's I don't know. We got at least 2 or 3 days, and that's about all that we have for three more weeks, or maybe four. Let's see, we'll have one, two, three, four. I guess, well, we might make it. We might get a good day open anyway.
Wow. Okay, that's good. Yeah, it sounds like it's a big job.
It is. It's a big job.
So that trail had been opened before, and then it closed up again. It was
Yeah,
maintained.
it's been open, for years, but it just never was maintenance, and it just grows up, and trees grow up in it, and everything else grows up and covers it up, and
Yeah.
in places that rain comes and washes down the steep hillsides, it actually just washes across it and covers it, fills it in, and so some of the steep hillsides didn't hardly have anything left on them.
Oh, wow. Wow. So that's good. That sounded like you had a good day. So how was the rest of the week?
It was good. Yeah, it was a good week. Had some many things to be thankful for, and
Yeah.
it went good.
Wonderful. All right. Well, let's take a deep breath together. Let's bring ourselves to this moment, and we'll continue our exploration in the mastery of intention. So last week we used intention as a empowerment practice, and we explored the practices to help you move through those things that seem to stand in the way of our what. And there were four key practices we looked at. So first was to set a clear intention. And to fall in love with it, fall in love with that intention. So it's like I use the analogy of a incandescent bulb as opposed to a laser beam. It's where you're really focusing the intention on a specific part of your wider canvas, the wider vision. So really focusing it down. So getting really clear on that intention within the clarity of your vision. Second, Oh, there's Caroline. Oh, there she is. Yeah, Caroline's at an appointment, but she just logged on. But she'll be in listen only unless she can open her mic once in a while. So she just came on. So she's listening in. So welcome, Caroline.
Hi, welcome.
So the second key practice we looked at was noticing any limiting beliefs. And by the very act of setting a clear intention, it will bring up limiting beliefs. So, but here's the thing, and I found this in doing body work and massage, is again, oftentimes people come in and they have some pain and discomfort. Let's say it's in their low back or their hips, and it's just like a general sense of pain or discomfort. And so that first session, we go through and we clear out the noise because it's not very specific, it's sort of generalized. So now we clear out the noise. The next time they come in, all of a sudden it's like, okay, I don't feel that general sense of disease. Now I feel it's right here. Boom. And they become specific. And so it's the same thing when we set a clear intention. We clear out that noise, and then the limiting beliefs become very specific, which is good because we want them to be specific and not generalized, because then it allows us to recode them in the moment very specifically. Because if you just have a general feeling like, oh, I just don't feel good, well, I don't know why, that's just noise. It's just like, I don't know where to go from here. I don't know where to pinpoint. I don't know where to laser my focus here. And so by clearing that noise, setting a clear intention, the clear limiting beliefs will pop up. So that's great. The third thing we looked at is be impressed with the power within you. And I know all of us on the call are very impressed with the one we serve, who we serve, the God we serve, that power that breathes us. So rather than being impressed with the limiting stories or the beliefs that come up or the circumstances, be impressed with the power that's at work within you. And we constantly go back. So that's that whole thing. It's like fact versus truth. So we're going to focus on the truth. We're going to keep focusing, keep bringing our focus back on the truth. And the fourth thing was to find the replacement thought. And that's our empowerment tool. So we're setting a clear intention. We're noticing any limiting beliefs, which would be clearer. And now we're going to recode that. We're going to find that replacement thought and tell yourself the truth about who you are and whose you are. And we keep going back. It's about repetition. It's about going through it over and over and over again until that old, well-worn path of the limiting belief is now replaced with a new, shinier path. It's like trailblazing, right? It's a perfect example. So you cut a trail, and now that's a pathway that you're sending thoughts down. Thoughts are coming back and forth on that pathway. It's well-worn. You're cutting a groove through the wilderness of your mind. And now, it's a self-limiting thought. Let's say there's a better thought to serve you. So you start to trailblaze a new trail, and you're clearing that. And this is going to be much better for you as an experience, much better for you for your life. And you cut that trail, but there's not as much traffic yet because it's a new trail. So over time, you just keep repeating, and more traffic ends up going on the new trail, and then the old trail gets used less and less and less, and then what happens? We see it in nature. You just described it, is that the trail, since it's not maintained, it's not used anymore, nature will just absorb it back into her beauty, and it'll no longer be a trail because now the well-worn groove is this other, more empowering trail, this groove that we've cut into our consciousness, into our minds. And so it's the same thing. It's the same thing with these limiting beliefs. And so we find that replacement thought, we trailblaze there, and then we just keep repeating over and over and over and over and over and over. And then that trail becomes the dominant trail, the other one gets absorbed back into the field. So that's what we looked at last week, and I invited you to, I said, choose an intention to focus on. Write it down, keep it with you, write down any limiting beliefs or stories, and to find a replacement thought for that limiting belief. So I introduced the concept of a junk journal. So we have journals, we have our notes, we write down when we have ideas, inspiration, but to have a junk journal is that's where we put the junk, the self-limiting beliefs, those stories. So we put those down, and then we find the replacement thought. So it gives us that very clear limiting belief, and now we can be very clear on the replacement thought. So what kinds of limiting beliefs did you notice coming up, and what kinds of replacement thoughts did you use to replace them? Who wants to share what their experience was with this week?
Well, my intention that I was working with is a follow up in my business here with the water, mm-hmm. and so I found that. that I make a list, or I was looking at the list and pass the list or whatever, but I said, well, I don't know which ones I should pick. That was one of the things I limited to me is I don't know which one. I got 100 and something on my phone, on my BizRunner list that I've let build up of people that I've contacted and sent them information, and we've had, you know, I've even followed up with them maybe once or twice or whatever, but which one should I pick? So I just don't do that, so I just take the last ones. Well, then I also find that I'm setting a time to do it. I don't know how much time I should set for that, so that's one of the things I limit me. I say, well, I don't know how much time I should set for that, but then I set, put it down on a certain day on Tuesdays and Fridays is when I usually have my most of them, do most of the follow-ups, but then I put it off. Well, anything else that seems to come up will gets in first place, and the follow-ups get pushed out. Well, I can do it in the afternoon, so I'll go ahead and do this other this morning, and I'll do the follow-ups in the afternoon.
Okay.
Well,
so
afternoon
let
comes,
me,
and
yeah,
well,
let me
I didn't think of that. Something else come.
Right. So let me pause you there. So what are some of the other things that are pulling your attention? You mean just chores or different things to do?
Well, it might be, oh, I need to go work in the garden, or it can be just any number of things. It just seems to need to work outside. On, I got one of the projects that I got on the list is clean up the north side of the shed so I can put a lean-to there and make a parking spot for my vehicles and things. Well, I'll go work on that instead, or...
Okay,
you know,
that's good. So you remember there's three ways that our paradigms or self-limiting beliefs show up. You remember what those are? The first one is distraction. So it's three D's. So the first one's distraction. So does it seem like you're being distracted by other tasks when you set This is my time for doing follow-ups, but then you get distracted by other tasks. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I think that would be a fair statement, yeah.
Okay, so that's interesting. So let's notice what we're noticing. And we're saying, okay, well, Tuesdays and Fridays, I set my time for these times to do my follow-ups, and then that time comes around, and then the limiting belief is going, whoa, 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 you got to go, you know, clear the space by the shed, or you got to go work out in the garden, or you got to go do something else, distracting you from the intention that you set for that time you put aside. So why do you think that is? What comes up for you?
I don't know. That's been one of the questions. I've been asking myself, why? Why did I do that? Why can't I get distracted so easy? Is it because I'm afraid to make the phone call, or I'm afraid to... I don't know if it's that, or... I really don't know.
So, I mean, that's fair. But obviously, and sometimes, you know, like I said, our limiting beliefs are coming out of our paradigms. It's on our current operating system. Those are our programs that are running in our subconscious mind. So we don't necessarily have, because we have our conscious mind, which is our creative mind, and then we have our subconscious mind, which we don't have access to directly. Okay. And so the limiting beliefs are programs. It's like a program in your computer. It's down in the coding. You can't, looking at your computer, you can't see that coding, right? So how do you change the coding? So we get clues, several different clues. And one of the clues is, how are those paradigms showing up, or how are they modifying or changing my behavior? And one of the ways is distraction. And so yes, all right, well, I set this task for my business to do these follow-ups on Tuesdays and Fridays. And then when that time arrives, the program goes, wait, and it says you got to go do this other thing. And it's pulling you away from what you had set. And so if you focus on that, so we'd say right now, you know, we're going to get off this call, and you're going to sit by your phone, you're going to take out your list, and you're just going to close your eye, you're going to just scroll through that list, you're just going to pick a name at random, and you're going to pick up that phone right now and dial that number. What does that feel like right now in this moment when I said that?
Scary.
Okay. Good. So now we're getting more specific. So why is it scary?
I'm afraid I won't say the right thing.
Okay.
I'm afraid I don't know. I don't have the right script to say to use, and I don't know how what to do next or what to lead them on to, or I just all kinds of things come up. Well, I don't know what to say. I don't know. So I try to, if I try to get them to make an appointment, well, they probably won't want to do that.
Okay. Good. So let's just stay in that energy. Okay, let's stay in that. So again, now it's like we're talking about a vision-driven life, setting intentions. So now you're sitting at the phone, you got the list, you have it just randomly picked a name off your biz runner, and now what came up was, I don't know what to say. I don't know. You know, if they're going to even be willing to set an appointment. So that's an intention right there, if you think about it. Because right now, you didn't set that intention. That intention was set for you by your limiting belief. Now, if we just step back a second, and we take a breath, and we say, okay, what is the vision for my business? Let's start there. What is the vision for my business? Why do you do the water business?
It's not to help others, to get what I have, because I'm so thankful that what it's done for me. I think that's really my first reason or meaning of why I do that. But then I guess one right very high would be so that I can make some money to help along with our Social Security, so that we can have a living, so we can pay our debts, and so or pay off the whatever.
Right. So there's several goals there. There's several intentions that you have, or in part of that vision. But the first one that you said, and that comes from the heart. The first one is to serve others, because you want to share what you've experienced, and you've got great health. I mean, the stories that you have over and over, just being on the trail, going up and down the mountain. And you want others to enjoy that freedom of life, that what you experience at that level, you know, at that this stage of your life, you want others to experience that. And that comes straight from your heart. And so if you set that intention, put the money aside, because that's more like, oh, I want to get this sale. It's a different feel to it. Because I need to pay my bills. It's a different feel because that's serving you. But the other intention is serving others. And so if you focus on that intention of serving others, that's the bigger picture. And now when you do serve others and they do get what you have, well, how does that make you feel?
Well, very good. Yeah, it makes me feel very good.
Right. So does that give you a feeling of life? Does that make you feel expansive?
Yes. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Okay. And so that's the feeling tone. That's the intention that you need to get into that state. Well, not need. I shouldn't say the word need. I invite you to get into that state first. and to remind yourself, reconnect with the vision. Why am I doing this? Because I know what this water has done for me. I know what it has done for my life. I know what it's done for my family. And I know how I feel. And it gives me that freedom of life. And when I help others and they see this and they get it and they experience it themselves, that fills me up. It gives me more life that I'm able to lift them up. And that I'm fulfilling my purpose, what God put on my heart, the purpose in my life. And that lifts me up and it fills me with joy. So by getting into that state first, that state of mind, and even if you went to your BizRunner list, picked a name at random, picked up the phone and dialed, staying in that space, not thinking of any script that you want to say, you pick up the phone, you dial that number, the person answers the phone, and you're talking to them from your heart. You reconnect with them, and then you share your experience. Can you feel how that just feels differently than if you were like, well, I got to make the sale, I got to pay my bills, we want to reach our financial goals. Because coming at it from that energy, they're going to feel that. Because again, in the energetic field, in the quantum field, in the mind of God, there is no time or space. And so that's why, you could walk into a crowded room or walk into a meeting and you could read the temperature of the room. You can read read other people's energies. We do it all the time because we're all connected. And so even if somebody is 1,000 miles away, they can still feel that energy. It's instant. Same way when you get a phone call and you answer the phone call, you get a sense of where that person's at. It may not be very specific in detail, but you can tell if somebody's upset or if somebody's happy or somebody's, confused. You can get that sense. And so by setting that state first and why you're doing this, reconnect with your vision, the joy, the expansiveness, that feeling that it's giving you life, and you want to pour that life into someone else and lift them up and start from there and then proceed with your task, you're just pouring into them. And no matter what happens, they could say yes, they could say no, it doesn't matter because you're coming from that state. Because at that point, it's how they're receiving the information. Like if you go to a diner for breakfast and the waitress is coming up and down and people are at various places in their meals and she comes to one table, would you like more coffee? And they say, yes, oh, thank you. And she pours more coffee. She goes to the next table, would you like more coffee? Oh, no, I don't want any coffee right now. So the waitress doesn't feel rejected because they don't want any more coffee in the moment. It doesn't mean, no, I never want coffee ever again in my life. It just means in this moment, I don't receive what you're offering. It has nothing to do with the messenger. It has nothing to do with her. She just goes to the next table. Would you like some coffee? It's yes or no. So you set that intention. You're in that state, that loving state in your heart, and you make the phone call, and you just pour into them. And you pour into them from your heart what you know. And not getting into technical details and all this stuff. It's like, this is what it's done for me. I want to help you get that too. And then they receive it or they don't receive it. They set the appointment or they don't set the appointment. And if they say, well, now's not a good time, okay, when can I follow up with you? When can I touch base back again? Is it okay if I give you a call in a month or 2 months or 3 months? Yeah, give me a call, give me a call in September. Okay. So you write it down. You put it in your BizRunner. Remind me to call so-and-so on September 10th or whatever. And you go to the next one. You're still in that state. I'm going to pour this love into people because that's my purpose. That's what God has me doing is I'm just going to pour love into people. So how did that land for you?
Very good. That sounds really good. I would like to do that.
Because what's happening right now, what it seems to be happening right now, is that the paradigm, that automatic program that's running, is distracting you from doing that. And again, most of them are not even ours. So let's just back up a little bit and talk about how our consciousness, our minds work. So we have our conscious mind, and we have our subconscious mind. Now, up until the age of seven, when we're children, up until the age of seven, we're only in subconscious mind, because the other two layers of conscious mind has not even been developed yet. And so we're mostly in what's called theta. Theta is the first level of subconsciousness. It's the level that we go into as we fall asleep. We go into through theta until we get into the deeper levels of sleep. As we're children, up until the age of seven, we live in theta. And theta is our subconscious. Theta is imagination. And all we're doing is we're downloading information. And so we're downloading what we're reading coming out from the universe around, people around us. We're downloading our belief system. And it's the belief system of our parents. It's our caregivers, our family, our aunts and uncles, our clergy, our people in our community. We're just downloading information. And we're setting belief systems, a foundational belief system. The process continues past seven, but we're setting down this foundational belief system. And then once we hit seven, going into eight, then we start to get the next level of consciousness. And that's why you're about 8 years old. You probably, have seen this. Kids get very logical because they're going into another level of consciousness, which is our first filter of what we believe and what we don't believe, and what we're bouncing off of our subconscious. So what happens is in that first level, the kids become very logical. They they're looking for logic, and that's when our logic mind starts to develop in that level of consciousness. So then when something happens, it filters through that level of consciousness, and then we ping it off. We bounce it off our subconscious mind because now we've got things stored in there. We've downloaded programs into our subconscious and to say, all right, is this true or not? Now, a lot of times, unfortunately, what we download is negative. Now, we do get positive reinforcement too, and we have positive programs that run into us, that are put into us. But oftentimes they're negative. And so if we get some kind of information experience in life, what happens is we go to our subconscious mind, we go to the teller, and we say, okay, go to the files and pull out evidence about this. Is this true or not? And if it's a positive experience, you may go into the teller of your memories, and the teller goes, well, nope, you've got this memory and this memory and this memory, so that can't be true. And so you reject it. And so that's what happens with our conscious mind or subconscious mind. So those programs that are running, that foundational belief system about ourselves, are not even ours because they were put there by somebody else. Now, again, if we had a parent that was just loving in certain areas of our life and then reinforced really positive things about us, like let's say, oh, you're such a problem solver. You've always been a problem solver. And that was coded into your DNA, into your subconscious, then throughout your whole life, you're like, yep, he's a problem solver. That's who he is. That's who I am. I'm a problem solver. And you have no issue with solving problems. The same thing. It's like if it was negative and said, well, you know what? You wet your bed. You're a bad person. You wet your bed. You wet your bed, and it happens sometimes, right? Well, you wet your bed, you're a bad person. And now this person grows up, and maybe they have issues around, self-image, that they're keeping a secret, they don't want people to know them, they feel ashamed or embarrassed, and those play out throughout life unless you go in and change the coding. And so So how do we do that? We do that with repetition. We do that with these principles that we're looking at. You know, it's like the good analogy is, you know, let's say you had a DVD player, right? You're going to watch a program on your TV, and you have a DVD player, and you push play on the DVD player, and the program's running, and you don't like this program. I'm like, I don't like this at all. So you go to your DVD player, and you lean down, and you say to the DVD player, I don't like this program, change the program. And then you go sit back down, you hit push play, and you're like, but it's the same program. I don't like this program. So you go back to the DVD player and say, listen, how come you didn't hear me? I said, I don't like this program. Change the program. And you go sit down again, you push play, it's the same program running again. You're like, what's going on? So now you start screaming at your DVD player. So we know that the DVD player is just a robot. It's mechanical. It just plays the program that's there. So how do you change the program? You have to actually go in, open the drawer, take the disc out, put a different program in there. We have to consciously do that, because in our subconscious mind, there's nobody driving that boat. It's all mechanical. It's all robot. It's all automatic. It's our creative mind, our conscious mind, that has to go in and change that. And over time, yeah, it's with repetition. We do it with meditation. Sometimes with a large emotional event in life, because we've seen that with people, right? When there's a large emotional event and we're in that state, then it becomes cathartic. And it's like, you know, like let's say we've seen that, right? Some people get the cancer scare. They get diagnosed with cancer and they get this big scare and they said, okay, now they're going to change their life. Now I'm going to change my ways. I'm going to change this programming. They get through that scare, they survive it, and now they've made these changes and they stick to it and their lifestyle has changed. Now some other people, they get the scare and they go through that and they say, I'm going to change my life, but they don't really change their life. They get through the scare and they go back to the program. Happens with some people, it's a matter of changing the program. Because just by saying, well, I just want to change my life, how come my life, I can't change it, because you're running a program. It's a hardwired program. So that's why we do programs like this. We do life mastery, we do dream building, and we stick to the vision. Because when that paradigm comes up, and they do come up, and we've seen it right here in this example with making follow-up phone calls, the paradigm comes up, and it says, no, 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 you can't do that, go do something else. And so that gives us a moment. The first brave thinking tool is notice what you're noticing. I'm noticing that I'm being distracted from what I set myself, my creative mind had set that appointment. I'm going to be making follow-up phone calls, but the program is now distracting me and pulling me someplace else, pushing me someplace else. Whoa, I'm noticing what I'm noticing. What's going on? Here's an opportunity to change the program. And how do we do that? Let's reconnect with our vision. Let's reconnect where I want to go with my life, where I want to go with my business, where what I want to go with what God put on my heart. I'm going to get into that state. I'm going to feel that success. I'm going to feel that unconditional love. I'm going to feel that in me, and I'm going to pour that into somebody else. And you just raised your vibration. Now, that paradigm is at a lower vibration. And so either the only way that it can operate, it has to then be raised to now your new vibration. And it knows it can't survive there because it's at a different, you're at a different frequency, you're at a different place. And so to that paradigm, it feels like death. And it is, because that well-worn path is now being absorbed back into nature. And it doesn't want to go away. It's part of the program. The program doesn't want to die. But you keep repeating. You keep going. And pretty soon, that well-worn path gets absorbed back. And no longer you have that. You don't have that fear anymore. You don't have that distraction when it comes time to pour into somebody else. How did that land for you?
Very good. I just trying to grasp how I can actually put it but make that work.
So to make it work, so you have it in your calendar already, and that's the first step. You've put a date and a time. You say, right, Tuesdays and Fridays, between this hour and this hour, I'm doing follow-ups. And right before you go into that appointment, you sit down, you quiet your mind, and you reconnect with your vision, or read your vision statement. This is why I'm doing this. Because I know what it's done for me, and I know what it could do for others, and I know what that feels like for me to go from where I was to where I am now with this water. And now I'm enjoying life on that level. And just keep remind yourself of those successes. Remind yourself of those stories that you told me of running to the top of the ridge and down. And people in their 30s and their 50s are just amazed, and they're struggling to keep up with you. Reconnect with that feeling, with that expansiveness, with that giving you life. And as you practice that, you'll connect with it much faster. Because at first it might be like you might be struggling a little bit with that paradigm. The paradigm might try to pull you out. So the more you practice it, and you can practice it at other times too, and that's why we say reconnect with your vision every single day. The more you practice it, the more you can step into that state and then ease and flow. You pick a name, you pick up the phone, you reconnect, and you pour into them. And will you stumble a couple times? Yeah. We all stumbled when we learned to walk. Took a step, you fell down. You crawled back over, you pulled yourself back up. So the falling down, but then they're always followed by a rising back up again. And you fall down, you pull yourself back up, and you rise again, you do it again. Get into state, connect, dial the next number. You know, have a loving conversation from your heart. So
I'm just thinking now that a lot of these follow-ups are, they haven't even given me a phone number. They want information. They'd like to have more. They want more. And some of them even say, I'm very interested, you know, but they just give me an email. So even when I sit down with the email, I need to pour my heart into that also.
Exactly. Exactly. So any task that you've assigned yourself or given yourself or committed to yourself, get into that state first, because the words that pour out into the email will come from that, from your heart. It'll come from that state. I mean, think of it this way. Let's say you had somebody you were doing business with, or just not even doing business. Let's say there was something around the community that you were working with some people on, and you go and sit with that person, and that person's in a stressed state. And here you're supposed, you know, you want to get together to come up with a solution for the community. And this person's in a stressed state. So what kind of ideas are going to be filtered through that state? Well, most likely they're going to be limiting, constricted ideas, because there's the state that they're coming from is filtered, is shading what could be done here for this project. Now, if you go to that same person and they're in a happy state, they're in a loving state, they're in an open state, expansive state, well, your experience with them is going to be completely different, and the ideas that flow from them are going to be completely different at a whole different level. That expansiveness, creativity, and so those two experiences, it depends on the state that it's filtered through. So again, you know, we go to the Holy Spirit, that's our guidance system. Well, how are we approaching the Holy Spirit? Are we approaching the Holy Spirit from a desperate, scary, you know, frustrated point of view, like in a defeated point of view? Well, how are those ideas and inspiration going to be filtered through that? But if we go to the Holy Spirit with thanksgiving and praise, with love in our hearts, and say, this is what I have. This is what I come to you. I need a solution for this. Where, you know, what should I do? Where can I go? What's the next step? How can I communicate with this person? With this love in your heart? Well, the answers that come through are going to be filtered through that state, and you're going to get a much better experience. And I know you've experienced that before, because you hear from the Holy Spirit all the time. But you don't want to filter it through a state that is constrictive and contracting and frustrated or desperate and scared.
So then when I'm visiting with them or whatever, I should be trying to connect with whatever state that I'm feeling that they are in.
Well, stay connected to your state. You're going to be able to read where they are. You don't want to, you know, you come from your state, especially if you're coming to them to give them information about it. You come from your state, and you stay in that state. You step into it of gratitude, of thanksgiving, of love. That's the state. Then you approach it from that state, and they will feel that. They will feel that. They're like, wow, I want what you have. I feel that from you. I feel that authenticity. I feel that love from you. And I want to try this because I want to have what you have. I want to experience what you're experiencing. And is their programs and their paradigms going to come up? Yeah. But that's their programs. We see it. They may not actually see it. Because a lot of times when our programs are playing, other people see it. We don't always see it because it's in our subconscious. So that's when the objections come up. When the objections come up, those are programs in the other person that's coming up. So we see it for what it is, and we have an opportunity to help them, just like I'm helping you now, coaching you through this. You have an opportunity to help them work through or move through that paradigm. And that's why I say, oh, I don't have the money for that. Let's work with that. You know, I don't have the hookup. I don't know how to mechanically hook it up to my. Let's work through that. I don't have the time for this right now. Let's work through that. That's just a paradigm. That's a program. But you remain in your state. And just like the waitress in the diner, they say, no, not right now. You say, okay. And you move to the next person. But can I follow up with you? You move to the next person.
So I mean, no, many just, that, no. Yeah, I hear that a lot. I don't have the money for that. That's too expensive. Like the one lady that comes all the time Wednesdays. I mean, she comes about every time. And Wednesday she came again, and she comes over and she says, I got to get one of these. I need one. I want one of these really bad. But she looks at it, and what else does it do? And we go through some more of the things and repeat some more of what's going on. But I don't have the money. Because my washing machine now, I got to work with my washing machine. I got to do this or that. So, and different ones that I have heard that several times, you know, well, it's too expensive or I don't have the money. Well, I've been telling them that, well, I haven't found anybody that if they really see the value and they want this, that there's a way that they can find it. I haven't found anybody that can't find a way. There's always an
exactly. And
answer
too,
to
like,
the problem. There's always a solution to every problem.
Right. And so instead of saying how much is it, or focusing on that, focus on the deposit. Well, can you afford a deposit? Yeah, I could do that. Okay. So then you took a $4,000 problem or $5,000 problem and you reduced it to, you know, an $800 problem or whatever it is. Come up with a deposit. Can you do that? You know? It's just changing the focus of the question, breaking it down into a smaller bite instead of a big bite. And then And say, well, you know, I could do that, but then I still have to pay off the rest of it. Okay, but if you just put the down payment, you put a deposit down, and then you get this machine, and it starts improving your health, do you think then your life is going to improve? You'll have more energy, which then you'll be more efficient in life, you'll be more creative in life, and do you think the abundance will flow better? And so you just get, you keep them on that track of just love and expansiveness, and you see their programs that run, you know, that are running. You see their programs at work, and you just work with that. Okay, let's break that down. Let's break that down. What if it was just this? We start there, and then we partner together, and I can help you. Because then we could offset that cost, because you know that there's other people around you that are suffering, and we can partner up and we can help them. And then when you help them, then you benefit from it too, and it lowers the price of your machine, or I shouldn't say lowers the price of the machine, but it helps pay for the machine. You just get nine referrals of the same level machine you got. That's enough money to 100% pay it off. Let's start with where you're at. Start with where you're at, and you take one step at a time.
And I find that more and more, which is, I guess people are finding out more and more how much trouble that they get into with their credit cards. And so they, I have those, well, do you have, I said, a real easy way for this thing to work, you know? If you have a high enough score, you can get a card with no interest for 20 months, and you can, in the first month, well, we can work together, and you can begin to share with others, and you get a nice little thank you check, and you're able to already make your payments for 5 months. Well, but I don't want credit. I don't want to get in debt, because I heard that at least, I don't know, in the last couple of weeks, I don't know, maybe three or four times. I don't know. I have the credit. I could get a card, but I don't want to get in debt. And so then they don't have enough money, so we're gonna wait until we have enough money.
Yeah, but that day will never come. So here's the one question you could say. It's like, okay, well, they probably have health insurance, but if you got sick today, your health insurance is not going to cover everything. And so you're going to go into debt for sickness instead of investing in yourself and health. And it's not going in debt, you're investing. It's like investing in a property that appreciates. You invest in your health and it appreciates. And then you get a business with it free, a referral system for free. Invest in your life. Invest in health. And again, if they just can't, they don't see it, they can't get, you know, you can't get past that paradigm, that objection, then you say, well, let me make a follow-up appointment with you. Can I, you know, get back to you in 3 months and see how they're going? Because if they're in the same, if they don't make a change, and if they have, especially if they have health problems, and they don't make a change, well, if nothing changes, nothing changes. And 3 months from now, that health condition's either going to be the same or it's going to be worse. And so it's not a matter of going into debt, because you're already in debt. Your health is already in debt. Let's invest in making you healthier. Let's invest in raising your credit score, your health credit score. Because if nothing changes, nothing changes, and you remain the same. Or it gets worse. And so, you know, it's another way to approach it. And again, if they don't want the coffee right now, say, I'm going to, you know, can I follow up with you in 3 months? You know, make sure you take notes with where they're at. Follow up with them in 3 months. Move on to the next person. You've got 100-something people on that list, enough to keep you busy. And then you sign somebody else up, or you meet people along the way, and you add more to the list. The list will always, you'll always have names, always have people to talk to. All right? So let's dive into this, the lesson this week. And some of these points we actually touched on. So this week, our focus is on how to utilize the daily content of our lives to help us move directly, distinctly, and powerfully toward the intentions we have in our hearts and our minds. So the next part of our work is looking for the current of our own life and paddling with the current. So we're going to use an analogy of a river. So instead of trying to swim upstream, because when you swim upstream, there's resistance, right? You're fighting against the current. So we want to paddle with the current. And that which is in harmony with the universe is that which is abundant and free-flowing. So the first is release the resistance to the current conditions of your life. So no matter what it looks like, it's actually neutral. So if we look at things, we should look at them as neutral. Nothing is bad unless you call it bad. So let's approach it that way. Nothing's bad until you call it bad. And there's nothing in life that doesn't contain a blessing. Every adversity has a seed of good in it. Every circumstance has a seed of good in it. We just may not be aware of it in the moment, but there is a seed of good in it. And so the work to be done is releasing ourselves into the flow of good. The good feelings, we're looking for the good, we're looking for the love, and we're staying in that vibration, we're staying in that state. Because once we're feeling that resistance, because we're facing upstream, we're feeling resistance, and we say, okay, well, what am I pushing against here? Why am I not feeling good here? Why am I resisting here? So we need to release that resistance. So I'm facing upstream, I'm going to turn and face downstream, and now that feeling is different. The next is to notice what we're noticing. So we've talked about that a lot. You know, life shows up consistent with what you're committed to. So again, it's where we put our focus, where we put our attention. What are you committed to? If you want to know where you're committed to, just look at how life is showing up for you. So let's say if you say you want a partnership or a love relationship, but it's not in your experience, then somewhere in your thinking, somewhere in your intentions, we are committed to an idea about yourself that is less than having a full partnership. So the same thing, you know, let's say as an example, you want to expand your Enagic business, you're struggling with follow-ups. So you're facing upstream, you're having this resistance. So part of you in that coding is committed to not getting you there. It's to keep you safe. It's the, you know, for whatever reason, whatever that programming is. So we need to look at that, and we just started looking at that. So if we shape your inward thinking so that it's in harmony with the intentions you say you want. So if you go to make a phone call and you say, oh, I got to go, you know, go outside and go work outside. Well, that's it's not in alignment with your intentions. And if you go out and start working in the garden, well, you just committed to working in the garden. You didn't commit to what you said you were going to commit to with your business. So notice what you're noticing. I mean, you go through that whole thing. I'm noticing that I'm being distracted here. And that's one of the ways that my limiting beliefs show up. So notice what you're noticing. So are you going to commit to being distracted? Or are you going to commit to saying, okay, I'm going to commit to this work. I'm going to step into the state, and then I'm going to go pour into somebody else. So I'm going to commit to that. So notice what you're noticing. We also have to recognize the gap. So you remember in dream building, there was three phases. The first phase was blueprinting, so we created that vision. The second phase was we're in the gap. We're in the gap from where we are to where we want to be. So we want to recognize the gap. And there's a great analogy for this that I just heard recently about transformation. So we know that a caterpillar transforms into a butterfly. It's a perfect analogy. So the caterpillar is is at one state of life, and the butterfly is at another state of life. So the caterpillar wants to become the butterfly. So what happens in nature? It goes into a chrysalis, into a pupae, and in that state of transformation, in that gap, at some point, it's no longer a caterpillar, and it's not yet a butterfly. And so it's in a state of chaos. It's moving in the right direction, but it's in a state of chaos. And that's what happens when we're in the gap. Because it feels like things are just like, you know, it's just like all up in the air. It's just like things don't make sense. And this is what it looks like when everything's working out. And we see that with the water, right? We meet somebody, we start sharing them water. This is where they are. This is where they want to be. Now they get into the gap. They start to drink the water. And then what happens? They have a health crisis. They start to detox. They have headaches. They get rashes. They go to the bathroom more. And they're in the chaos. And they're like, things seem to be getting worse right now. But if you keep your eye on the vision, where you're going, and know things will work out, that transformation will happen. Because you got to go through the transformation. You got to go through the chaos. You got to detox to transform to become the butterfly. And so recognize the gap. So in a previous exercise, you write down 50 goals, life goals. So if you take 10 to 20 of those goals out of the 50, and you look at which ones have the highest charge for you. Feel what it would be like to have those things as the reality of your life now. So the 10 to 20 of those, the bigger ones, when you say bigger, so it's the ones that have the most charge, the ones that give you more life, the ones that have more excitement for you. And feel what it would be like to have those things as the reality of your life right now. Then you want to feel the vibrational gap between your current state and your dream life. You want to feel the gap. You want to recognize the gap. Because here's where we learn to distinguish, differentiate, and then use the tool of consciousness to release old patterns and bring forth the new, truer, more consistent patterns with what we say we want in our life. So it's the same thing we were talking about before. If we set that clear intention, we know where our current state is, we know where we want to go. We step into that feeling, into the vision, that as if we're living it right now. And with that feeling, we step into the gap between where we are and where we want to be. It becomes very clear. Clarity just comes through to say, okay, my current state, I feel that they're over there. Where I want to go, I feel that over there, and now I could feel the difference. And then we can distinguish. You say, okay, there's that limiting belief. That's what it gets very specific. Now I could recode that because I can understand that limiting belief now is holding me back. It's pulling me back to my current condition when I want to be pulled by my vision. And so I know where I need to release. I know where I need to recode. So that's why it's important to recognize the gap. And to know that you're in the gap. So that will help our clients too when they start to drink the water and they step into the gap and they get this health crisis. I always celebrate that. Oh, I got a headache. I drank the water. Great. You're transforming because that means the water's working. I mean, it's not great that you're in pain, but let's recognize that it's shifting your current state of health into something better because it means it's releasing toxins out of your body. Because you don't want that stuff inside you. That's what's keeping you in your current state. We want to transform into a better state. And so as you and I begin to develop an identity that is consistent with our nature, that our old paradigm or pattern is no longer consistent with our new identity. And just like we said before, that dissolves through a lack of energy and soul force. So just like trailblazing, if people are not taking that trail anymore, that's lack of energy. That's lack of use, and nature's just going to absorb it back into herself. And it's the same thing in our minds, the same thing in our consciousness. we start to blaze a new trail, and we send more energy down that trail. That trail will automatically stay maintained because we've got energy flow going that way. That old way of thinking, that old pattern, is just going to get reabsorbed. It's going to get resorbed back up into nature. So you want to recognize the gap. It's important, you know, and it's not comfortable to be in the gap. It's not, because we step into chaos. And so how do we do that? We reconnect with the vision. We stay in the vision. We stay on the goal. We keep our eyes on the prize and what it is, not how we're going to do it. That's up to God. But we can take steps. We can take action steps. But we keep our eye on the goal as we go through this pupae period, this chrysalis period, this period of transformation, while we're in that gap. And then we talked about this before. Distinguish between fact and truth. So what's a fact? A fact is a condition of your past or present. So we went to school. That's a fact. We had these parents. That's a fact. There is this much money in our bank account. That's a fact. But facts don't determine your future. It's what you think about the facts determines what you're willing to bring into your future. So it's what, how we respond. So again, facts are facts. Facts are neutral. It's what we bring to it, what we think about those facts. So we don't want to give our power away to the facts. Don't deny the facts. You don't deny the conditions, but you deny their power. You deny the power of the facts to define you or your future. That doesn't matter. That's a fact. I recognize the fact. I see the fact, but I'm not going to give my power to it, because then there's the truth. And the truth is, I'm an unlimited spiritual being. I cannot be confined or defined by anything that has ever happened to me or done by me. That's the past. I'm not going to let that define me. And you practice making the distinction between your history and who you truly are. Yeah, maybe I'd made a mistake. I acted badly here. Okay. You apologize. You apologize to yourself. You apologize to other people if they're involved. And you go back to yourself. Who am I? I'm a child of God. I'm an unlimited spiritual being. God has put my purpose on my heart, and I know what I'm here to do. And I'm serving others. Go back to who you are. Who you are. That's the truth. So there's facts and there's truth. And then you want to put your life in harmony with your intention. So be the person you imagine yourself to be. So when you look at your vision of where you want to be in your business, in your life, be that person. Because that person doing the water business, making those phone calls, is not concerned with, I have to make the sale because I have to pay the bills, because that's already done. That person is just coming from pure love. That person just pouring into others because that's what God told him to do. So be that person now. Come from your vision. Be that person now. And pour into people. So what does that person who's living that life do with their time? How do they relate to other people? That's what we just said. How do they relate to other people? It's pure love. It's unconditional love. And how do they feel? They feel alive. They feel expansive. They feel their purpose. They feel their vision. They feel the love flowing through them. So when you create a vibrational match to the life you're imagining, you begin to incarnate that life. So again, it's Dream Building 101. We step into that vision. As we become that person, it's happening right here, right now. See those things that are not as though they are. Step into it. Step into it. Step into it. And be that person. Be that person. Be in that state. Set your intentions in that state. Make the phone calls in that state. Do a presentation in that state. Because you're already there. You're already that person. And the more you do it, the more you practice it, the ease and flow, ease and flow, ease and flow. So start noticing when you start to feel constricted. When you feel that, you're paddling upstream. You're facing upstream. When you're feeling a flow of ease and grace, you're in the current of your own life. When you start to feel constricted, notice that you've got some story going on. You've got a program that's running about a condition. There's a program running. If you feel that constriction, that resistance, that means there's a program running. So in that moment, you differentiate between the condition, which is a fact, but recognize there's a truth that's underneath, around, on top of, and infused in this circumstance that is way bigger than that circumstance. So when you feel that resistance, you feel that constriction, you feel that fear of picking up the phone, that's a program. That's not who you truly are. That's a program, an automatic program that's running. Somebody pushed play. To change the program, we have the steps. You know what to do. You get into the state. You reconnect with the vision. And nope, I'm not going to go down that path anymore. I'm not going to put energy down that path anymore. I'm going to let that path, just nature, take its course, and just like on the mountain, that trail is going to get absorbed right back into it, right back into nature, and I'm going to go down this new path with expansive love, unconditional love pouring into people. So how did that land?
Good. You know, I just believe that's the answer.
Yeah, and again, it's not a one-time event. It's not like something. It's not a switch you throw and it's done. You know, it takes time. It does. It takes some time. But if you just keep showing up as you, who you are, you just keep showing up. It's about repetition. You know, it's like conditioning. You know, you didn't be able to run up and down the mountain without conditioning. It takes conditioning. It takes time to build up your lungs. It takes time to build up your legs. It takes time to build up that balance in your body. If I went out to visit you right now, I'm not at the condition level that you are. At my age, I'm not at the condition level that you are. Because it takes time. It takes time to, in repetition, just keep showing up. Keep showing up, little at a time, consistency. It's not perfection, it's consistency. It's just showing up, just showing up. You know? And it's just, you keep doing that practice. It's just like when we learned to walk. We didn't walk the first time. We didn't pull ourselves up and walk across the room and go, okay, this is done. I flip the switch, it's done. It doesn't work that way. It's repetition. And then as you do it more and more, you make those phone calls. Now, what are you doing? You're putting a new program into your subconscious. And now, over time, once that program is set, or once that program has been fed, just like trailblazing, and now you're sending energy down that program, well, picking up the phone becomes easy because that's the program. That's the program. So just keep showing up so you have more clarity, you have more tools to work with here. And so the life work this week is, this week you'll have the opportunity to rewrite the story of you. So we're going to go back and you're going to reflect on the life you are calling forth using a scrapbooking exercise. And this is a pretty interesting exercise. So take a favorite picture from your past, so from years and years ago. Take a favorite picture of your past, and you're going to write a caption of the person you've become. So as if you're going back into your past and you become the person you were, let's say you had a photo of yourself and you were 18 or 24 or whatever, you're younger. Now you're going to write a caption of that photo of who you are today. So as if you were that person at 18 and you say, okay, when by the time I reach this age, this is the vision of my life, and you write who you are. Because it's a similar exercise for right now, is we take a current picture of ourselves and we write the vision of who we want to be, the life that we want to live. And so have fun with this. Practice being in the current of the truth of who you really are. So it's an exercise that, okay, we go in the past, we take a favorite picture, we're going to write who I am today. So then we come fast forward, now we're we have a picture of who we are, and then we're going to caption it with the person that we are becoming. So it's a little bit of a memory bend, a little mind bending here. Time travel is what we do, front and back. And so it's a powerful exercise. It's powerful.
So since we don't have pictures, we don't have any of that from the past, or we don't take pictures.
Yeah.
So I just do that with just in my mind, a memory, or like, or just...
Exactly. So do that in your mind. So maybe describe a time first, like have an image of yourself from a memory in the past, and write that down first. So you're describing a picture that you see in your mind. So say, you know, when I was this age, I could see, you know, I could see myself doing this. I see, you know, it's like you took a snapshot in your mind. And then write a caption of who you are today with that snapshot. You say, okay, as if that person from that age years ago had written a vision, and now this is the person I've become. And so now you're going to do the same thing from who you are now, the image, you know, who you are now. But you're going to write a caption of the person that you're becoming. It's you're writing your vision. You're writing your vision.
So, like, I picture a track meet that we had when I was in the 10th grade in high school, and I can picture myself running the mile run. I can still picture that. I can see coming around that curve and towards the last, and I was in third place, and I was trying to come up, but something was telling me, but there's no way you can't pass that first person. You're only in 10th grade of all things, and you're running against 12th graders and from other schools and everything, and so I can really picture that and feel that, remember that. How that was. Well, now today, I picture how I can run for 15 miles if I want to or whatever.
Exactly.
And I can picture how I can, you know, hike the canyon and things like that. Is that what we're saying here?
Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting because you become aware in that memory, you know, when you were in 10th grade, you're a 10th grader, 10 years old. 10th grade.
10th grade, yeah.
10th grade, yeah. That you are already limiting yourself, saying, well, these people are seniors, they come from different schools, I'm never going to be able to beat them. When that was a limiting belief. At that time, it was already a limiting belief that you already had, that was a program that was running. Instead of saying, well, you know, let me push a little harder. I could beat that guy. I could beat them. You push a little harder, right? But at that time, it was the limiting belief was, so what place did you come in that race? You came in third?
Yeah, I came in third.
Yeah. But in that race, were there other seniors, other 12th graders that came behind you?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there were. there was a number, in fact.
So that sort of negates that limiting belief. You say, well, you know, I can't beat them because they're in 12th grade. Well, you're already beating some behind you that are in 12th grade that came from other schools. So that limiting belief doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, I was high. Excuse me. I was high jumping also. That was the two things that I did. And I remember the same thing. I was high jumping, and I said, well, I can, you know, I can beat, but I don't know, how can I beat those there? I mean, that fella, I know that he can go over 6 feet, because, but not legally he couldn't. He could dive over when the coach wasn't around, but anyway, I knew that, but I actually did jump over my height. I jumped 5 feet, 10 and a half inches, and
yeah.
It was over a little bit over my height at that time.
Wow.
But and I got third place again.
Oh. Wow. So go back, rewrite that you're in first place. Rewrite that vision. Because it's in you. It's in you. You know? It's in you. I want to connect with you because I just, you know, I went into my records, and today was actually the last day of your Life Mastery program. I should have talked to you before that, but it had missed my attention. It's been 6 months already. That went by. So I want to talk to you about the next step, what we, you know, the next program and so forth. I can't do it right now because it's already almost 20 after. So let's, I'll text you and we'll set up a time and let's talk about the next step.
Okay.
All right. So I'll text you on that and we'll set up a separate call on that.
So we'll have our regular call like for next week or for this last lesson?
Well, today was the last lesson. Today was week 4 of intention. And so
I thought, you know, the work that we had to do for next week was to write this other thing. And that's what it says on week 4 of paper. That's what it has there to do.
Yeah, well, you could still do the life work. I mean, it becomes an ongoing thing.
So
but your program actually officially ends today.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm sorry I missed that because I wasn't focusing on that. I should have talked to you about this earlier. But let's make a time, you know, over the next few days, and then we'll talk about the next step, the next program.
Okay.
All right, my friends. So have a good week. Enjoy. And, yeah, I'll text you a little bit later, and we'll find a time.
Did I send that email or text or whatever that about preparing or getting in shape there for that Grand Canyon hike?
Yeah, I texted you back. Let me just look at this real fast. Actually, I'm going to stop the recording. So goodbye, everybody.